kind of dig through Romans a little bit. Last week we shared 15, I think, 1, where we who are strong ought to bear with the scruples and things, the weaknesses of the weakest of the weak, you know. So that's the duty of us as followers of Christ, is to bear with others, to be there for them, to encourage them. Not that we are having anything to give them that we can encourage them, other than we give them the word of the Lord. We give them what the Lord has showed us, things that we have gleaned from his word as we've read it, that we're able to say, well, you know, I don't know, other than this is what God's word says, and it sounds pretty good to me. Don't listen to what I think. Read what the word of God is saying. And so we kind of did that, because we want to be that encourager. We want to help that. As I continued on in 15, I got down and talked in 7, therefore receiving one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, it's written. And, you know, it's so thankful that what Jesus came about for the Jewish people, he also came for us as the Gentiles. And we've said this before, and you've read it and understood it, that because he was rejected, he went on and said, well, if you're not going to receive what I got, I'll go to those that will, and that was the Gentiles. And then it comes all-encompassing to where it's for every man or woman or child, no matter where you're at and whatever nationality, whatever you are, Jesus is Lord. Amen. And so we read to that, and then I got down to 13, where it says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Now may the God of hope, and we've probably had messages past about hope, but this is a very important part of our walk, our life, is to have hope. Because without hope, a lot of times people don't want to go on. They lose all hope in things. They lose, you know, and of course in the natural, and what we look at it is, they lose hope within themselves, because I'm not able to do this, I'm not able to attain what my family or my heritage or dad or whatever the case might be. And we lose all hope. But God is, as we read it here, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace and believing that you may abound in hope. You know, when we look at that abounding in hope, it's like superabundance. It's abounding, you know, like 10 times, 10,000 times, you know, that abounding in that hope. Now, when we read that, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You will not only be filled with hope, but you're going to do what? Overflow. Overflowing. What happens when we see things overflowing? We go, wow, that's an abundance. You know, take a bucket and fill it up with your garden hose and keep the hose going and let the bucket fill. And then what happens when it continues to reach the top of the bucket? It continues to go. But it's got to go somewhere. And the bucket can only hold so much. And after that, it begins to overflow and cascade down the sides of the bucket. Pretty soon, you're looking on the ground and that water is just further and further going out. I think as we have the hope of Christ in us and we're looking at that and it's superabundance and it abounds within us, we should be to where people see that and they say, how did you get that? And we share the message of the cross. We share what that of the Word of God is all about. So the God of hope, Paul is telling us that God is the source. It's not man, it's not Paul, it's not the church, it's not anything man-made that I can do this, but it is what Paul is sharing is the same thing that we share, that it's God. God is the source. Is that the truth? Amen. Everything in your life, everything that you've gained in maturing in the things of God, it's because God is the source of that knowledge. God is the source of His Word to help us grow and develop. It's with that of the Holy Spirit teaching us and leading us and guiding us into the truth of God, so that we don't get sidetracked, so we don't listen to man, so we don't listen to the worldly ways of how they feel about hope or what they think about success or what they think about anything. We don't want anything that what the world thinks about. We want to change that to where we are just in the kingdom of God, and it's His hope, it's His word, it's His promises, it's His direction that we follow. So Paul is telling us, he's telling the churches there and the people there the same thing. Paul shares about the joy and the peace. It links joy and peace. And that's joy and peace. Is that negative or positive? Positive. I've never heard negative joy. I've never had negative peace. It's always been a positive time in my life that I've had that joy, that I've had that peace. And yes, even going through or hearing some situations or maybe some potential tragedies and things in your own family at times, or people that have passed unexpectedly. It's like it's very sad, and it kind of takes the wind a little bit out of your sails, because sometimes it's unexpected. But then you sit with that of God, and you begin to be recharged. You begin to sense His power again. You begin to sense that His Spirit is there with you. And He's there with you to walk you through that time. And as we come through those times, your joy and your peace, it's not been taken away. It might have just been kind of covered up a little bit with some grit of the world and the grits of things of happening. But if you continue on and walk through that with Him holding your hand and getting you through that situation, you will come through it. And it's like that of how many here, you know, you cut your grass and cut the dandelions down and you think they're all gone. And then you go out the next morning and the first thing that's popped up is the dandelion again. It's like, well, how did that happen? It's like they got another dandelion in that root system. As soon as that one is plopped off, the other one's going, I'm next. Boom, up there, here I am. And you look at that and you're going, my gosh. there's still depressions in my grass from my lawnmower, and there's a dandelion. And that's how we go through a situation that's maybe horrific, tragedy, whatever the case is. But we have to, with that of God in us, He will rise or raise us back up to where we are going to sustain and be seen. Amen. Amen. We need to be seen as children of His, because the times we're living in is the times that people have no hope. They have no place to go. They think it's this and they think it's that, and they know that it's not. It's a temporary type hope. It's a false hope. But we as a children of God have a sustainable hope through that of Christ in us. God is filling us. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope. Abound, superabound, abundance. These things, when God's Word speaks of abounding in things, it's not just abounding. It's abounding. It's not abounding. It's abounding. I like that sound. That's why I did it again. That's okay. Sorry, that's just for me. Hit the reverb, honey. Let's make it sound like abounding, 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 abounding. But as a child of God, we've got that. I've got the power in the name of Jesus. I've got the power in the name of Jesus, not in the name of Tim. I've surrendered myself that I'm nothing without Him. And with Him, I'm everything. But I got to allow Him to have this vessel. This, we talked in Sunday school, this clay vessel that I am. I've got to say, Lord, fill me with Your value, so that people can see that value come out, so they can see that light of You coming through this vessel. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. We think of hope in the Bible, in the world. There's two different ways, okay? But hope in the Bible is not wishful thinking. Oh, well, I hope this happens. I hope I get this. I hope. It's not whimsical. It's not wishful thinking. When we speak of, I have this hope in God's Word, it's having a confidence. Do you have a confidence in God's Word? It's also having an expectation. Do you expect to God to perform His word? Do you expect God to perform His promises? Do you expect God to come into your situation? Hello, yes or no? Yes. Because He's God, because He cares for me, because He loves me, He loves you. Oh, thank you, Lord, for that. But He will come. So that's the Bible, the biblical look of hope in God's Word. I have a confidence, an expectation based on certainty. There is not, if anything, in this world that you can build any kind of a certainty on in the man's world, right? It's a stack of cards. It is propped up by this, it's propped up by that, it's this, it's that. There is nothing for certain in this life on this side of heaven. It's all temporal. Speaks of us as being nothing but a vapor. We come and we go. We do not know what this life holds for us on our timing. And so I would encourage you, don't wait for tomorrow to do what God has asked you to do today. Don't wait to think like, well, I'm going to wait until this happens, or I'm going to really make sure God wants this. If you are a child of God, if you've got the Holy Spirit in you, and if you're hooked up in the right connections with God, you will hear God and you will respond. You will hear God and God will say, it is me, go. Because none of us have tomorrow guaranteed. And we want to be found faithful doing the things that God has asked us to do. But as we look at the things that God has us here, so we go through this life, and it's just a vapor. But I'm going to tell you, with God in your life and you fulfilling what God has had for you to do, it is accomplishing great for the kingdom of God. And so, how do we do that? It's with this hope that is confident, expecting, based on certainty. I know my God, and He's not a liar. It's the same today as yesterday and will be for tomorrow. Biblical hope rests on God's promises. We look at that hope. It's active. It's enthusiastic. It's alert. It's vigilant. It's watchful. It's motivated. When we have this hope that God gives us, all of those things line up. I'm active serving in His kingdom. I want to be found doing what He wants me to be doing at the time He wants me to be doing it, and I hope I'm honoring and glorifying Him. I want to be enthusiastic. I want to have joy. Oh, that's there. May the God of hope fill you with what? All J-O-Y. Joy. It's not the dish soap. Joy and peace. I want to be active in joy, active in peace, enthusiastic with all of that. I want to also be alert. I got to be alert to these things. Vigilant, watchful, and motivated. It is not this. The God of hope that we're speaking of, and we may the God of hope fill you with all joy, and may you abound in the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not this. It's not lackadaisical. It's not lazy. It's not slothful. It's not lethargic. Sometimes we are like that when we wake up in the morning, huh? Ugh. Lethargic. It's not sluggish. It's not exhausted. It's not inactive. The hope that God gives us is the complete opposite of that. And we do this. Trust in Him emphasizes the importance of faith and trust in God as the means to experience the hope. What is that? The faith and trust in God. I guess the first thing you got to do you trust Him? You got to answer that question. A lot of people out there in the world, and sometimes even in our churches, have a hard time. Christians, they call themselves. Sometimes they have a hard time trusting God. Because they're still seeing too much of the things in the world. Their eyes are still fixated on the things in the natural, the things of this world. And they're saying, like, I'm getting bombarded by people seeing tragedies, and they're coming to me and saying, what about your God of love? And I don't understand it. And how can you serve that? Oh, that's craziness. You got blah, 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 blah. The world will destroy you with those things, trying to come to you, trying to tear down your faith, trying to tear down, you know, your hope and your belief and your trust in God, because they've got some viable questions, yes. How can a God of hope allow these things to happen, or a God of love allow these things to happen? It ain't heaven here, guys, right? We've said that many times. You've got to understand, we're not in heaven. We're in the devil's playground, and tragedies come. We're a fallen world, but yet I'm a living specimen of God in this place. I'm a light. You're a light. We talked about the putting on that armor of light and all of these things that we have within us, and it's the light of Jesus in us to go out and to shine forth. We talk about this of Paul sharing about that of peace and joy. It's suggesting a positive and a tranquil state of mind. Many of our people, that's the problems they have, it's where it's at. It's up here. It's in their mind. They're trying to dissect and trying to figure out God so much that all of a sudden the enemy gets in there and begins to mess with you, and pretty soon creates those doubts and those suspicions of things. And if you're not tied up to God, if you're not tethered to Him, and if you're not actively functioning and actively listening and actively speaking to God through that of the Holy Spirit to keep you hooked up to Him, you will get some static from the world into that, and pretty soon it may overcompensate for that of what God is telling you, to where you hear more of what the world is saying. Or you may see more of what is happening in the world, and it takes your sight and your thoughts and your peace and your joy and your hope off of that of God. You're like that ship out in the sea without a sail, without a rudder, without anything. You're just drifting with all the problems of the world. When we look at this, it all comes by what? Abounding in hope by the power The power, dunamis. It's one of four great power words. The others are E-X-O-U-S-I-A, excusia, whatever, I don't know. It's the delegated, so there's a power of delegated authority. There's a T-S-C-H-U-R-O-S, which would be the power of great strength, and that's especially speaking of physical. So we have that power of physical strength. You know, I think that's those times when something happens and we need to do something, and it's like, I had my own strength physically, I can't do it, but there's something within you. All of a sudden you have a superabundance of strength that you can do something and do something beyond what you would normally do, you know, if it's that strength, physical strength. That dunamis means energy, so power and might and great force, great ability, strength. It's sometimes used to describe the powers of the world to come at work upon the earth and divine power overcoming all resistance. You think of that of dynamite, dynamic, dynamo. So anyway, when you look at that word of abounding and the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The verse here talks of the Holy Spirit's role in empowering you, you the believer, to abound in hope. And this is point of being, overflowing. Like, you know, we talk about that bucket and all that, overflowing and overflowing with joy and happiness and all. But it's indicating a deep and overflowing sense of hope that surpasses the ordinary human capacity. For our own human capacity, we are kind of limited in a lot of things, right? And what we can do or not do, we're limited. I mean, come on. I used to watch Superman, but it was only Superman that could stand and you know, be faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive. So it's, you know, my own power, my own ability, no, but with Him in us and exceeding within us, the overflowing, ordinary human capacity. So what do we look at in this verse? What can help us and understand some of these things? I've looked at this, and this is through like a site online. It says, this expression, abound in hope, refers to an overflowing measure of hope that is far beyond what a man can produce or describe. Has God ever done something so much for you that it's hard to describe it? I mean, it was phenomenal. It was unexpected. I mean, you talk about cloud 9, I was like on cloud 777. You know, It's far beyond what man can produce or describe. In the original Greek, it translates abound means to run over, be wealthy, have more than enough, transcending all boundaries, superabound, have excess, greatly surpass, excel. These are that. I love these things in God's word when he talks about abundance and abounding and power and all these things and what it means and what it kind of opens up to in that of the Greek or the Hebrew. So again, the original Greek translated abound means to run over, not to be run over by a car. Some of us feel like that, right? Like, yeah, I feel like I abounded. I got ran over, man. I'm like flat. No, but to abound means to run over, to be wealthy, have more than enough, transcending all boundaries, superabound, have excess, and greatly surpassing are to excel. When we look at that area of hope, it's the expectation that some desires will be fulfilled. In scriptures, hope always focuses toward forward. It always focuses forward with a confident expectation or a very strong belief and firmness of the fulfillment of God's promises. Do you believe what God says in his word, he's going to do it for you? You got to hold that down. You got to hold that deep in you, because there's things in this life that will try to steal that away from you. And it's usually because we talked about it back in Sunday school about that clay vessel and being compressed by all sides, like pressured and perplexed, all these things upon us. Those same things are happening to us in our church, things that happen. You can go through a litany of names, even with our little body here, and I could tell you this, this, and this about things that people have gone through, going through, and that are still dealing with some things. And they sometimes have a question as to why. And I told them, if I could answer that, I would probably be a very wealthy man. But I said, I don't know why. And it's not the why, it's who are you holding on to that'll get you through that why. And we all go through a lot of whys in our life. And it is hurtful to the point, or painful at times, as any of us, to when you see people that you love and they're going through something difficult. And as much as we would love to come and pull them out of that, we can't do that. Only God can. But here again, remember the messages are so back about coming and helping those that are weaker than you or whatever, that we were to come and support them and to encourage them. Maybe that is where that role is at, to where I don't have the answer for you, but I will be here and I will pray for you and I will keep you in my prayers and just keep trusting God for that answer to come. When's it going to come? I don't know. And when it comes, it may not be what we think it's going to be, for God will answer it the way he wants to answer it. But when he does that, are you willing to say, okay, God, you're still my God? Or do you go, it's not answered the way I want, I don't want any more to do with you? Tragedies are, some people have said that, I'm sure, because it didn't turn out, because somehow, some way, they maybe gleaned through these things. And I'm a pastor that wants to tell you, if you're a father or a follower of Christ and you got Jesus as your Lord and Savior and filled with the Holy Spirit, just get ready for trials, tragedies, and hardships. Be ready. You got to be ready. But I would also be the same pastor that says, even without Jesus, you're still going to have those same hardships. Because life is terrible. Life is hard. Everybody's dealt something. We got to hold on, serve him, have that hope filled with joy and peace and all from God, abundance and the power, so that when we get ready and he calls us home, we are doing what he's asked us to do. He said, well done. You were an example to these. You were a light to those. You stood strong in this. You know, whatever the case might be, you did not turn down from me. You did not turn away from me. You remained strong in me. Thank you, Lord. That's all I could do is, you can only stand strong in either him or stand strong in that of the devil. Because the devil is the god of this world. He says, choose this day who you will serve, me or the devil. And it's like, well, if I've only got two choices, which choice do you think is the best? God. God. And when we call this like Satan's playground, but when we get called home to heaven, that's God's playground. And some people say, and we're going to party. Hey! Glory! You mean this is, I sang this, and this is really happening up here. Wow! Oh, Jesus! Thank you, Lord! He's promised that to us. He's gone to make a way. That's what should help us stay strong. That's what should help us continue to be active and serving and active and showing hope and love to those around us. We want to take as many with us that way as the devil wants to take them that way. We got to get out there. It's a fight. Fight, 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 you know. I think we're Thursdays and things. We're going to talk about the armor of God and the fights we get into. And as we are continually in this world and the things that are happening in front of us, it's a continuation. But we're fighting for the right kingdom. We're fighting for the kingdom of God. And He gives us the power, and He gives us the weaponry, and He gives us the protection, and He is our leader. Lord of hosts. Yes. You know, John was sharing about that on Thursdays, and Thursdays are awesome. Hope is defined as the expectations of some that will be desires that will be fulfilled. We already talked about that, and we find that the believer's hope is a living hope. You know, the living Christ, the living hope that we have. Oh, hallelujah, the living hope. And why is it living? Did Jesus stay dead? No. He arose from the grave. He ascended out of the tomb. He's there in heaven. So we serve and we have a living hope. And Jesus is that example. Let's look at 1 Peter real quick. 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. 3-4. I'm just going to read it. It's going to help us, I think, with some of this. Blessed, are you there? 1 Peter 1, 3. In verses 3-4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4, to an inheritance that is incorruptible. It's not perishable. It's imperishable. It'll always be there, to an inheritance that's going to be there and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved where? In heaven for you. Well, let's read 5. Who are kept by what? Power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for what? A little while, if need be. You have been, I'm not going to say that, because you don't like it. No. Grieved. Are you been distressed by various trials? Verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith, the genuineness. See, that's where when we go through these being tried by fire, you know, and the fire purifies and the fire does all these things to metal. It does all these things to the pot and the clay and all that. That the genuineness of your faith that is being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we do that, is anybody here? I think verse 8 covers this for us. Whom have not seen you, love you, though now you do not see him, yet you're believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And it just goes on. But that's that hope, that's that trust, that's that whole thing that as we are children of God, and this hope that's within us, that living hope through the resurrection, that's what gives us that hope, is because we serve a risen Savior who's in the world today. Where are you at in this world? I'm here today. Where I'm at, He's at. Where I go, He go. When I need help, He's there to help me. The Holy Spirit is leading and guiding and strengthening him and giving me the joy, giving me the insight, giving me words, giving me things to be aware of. He's protecting me and leading me and guiding me and warning me. The Holy Spirit is here leading and guiding us. Hallelujah. Titus 2. Titus 2:13. I'll start in Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly. Soberly, from sozo, to save, and it's in the mind. So this word is an adverb signifying acting in a responsible manner, sensibly, prudently, being in self-control, and in full possession of intellectual and emotional faculties. That's a key there that you could dig on for a while. To be in control of your emotions and your mental faculties. Because where does the enemy attack us? It's in our intellect. It's in our emotions in these things. Father. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the what? Blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every, not some, but every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. These people are going to be what? Zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. That's who we're serving, and that's where we're at today, and that's where we can look at is having that hope filled with all joy and peace and believing that you may abound in this hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Father. Again, from this place on the internet, and looking at some of this breakdown of this, Paul's particular hope for which he prayed in Romans 15:13 was hope for the salvation of people from every nation, every tribe, and every tongue. He wanted Christians to look forward to the time when Israel would be saved and the full inclusion of all numbers of Gentiles would come into salvation. He prayed the Roman believers would keep their hearts centered on the consummation of history and beyond to the glory of the new heavens and the new earth that both Gentiles and the Jews will inherit together. And that's speaking to us here today, for us to inherit that same thing. There's no hope without God in our lives. We can abound in hope by living with excited anticipation of all that God has promised for us in his word. We look at that in Hebrews, we find where it says, encourages us to do what? Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Thank you, Father. This word of God is filled with hope. This word of God is filled with strength. This word of God is filled with love, compassion, grace, mercy, all for his people. For those that are lost, they can receive it. For us in the church of his church, the kingdom of God, it's for us as well. So as we look at these things, and just quickly, that hope that we have, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, and so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for your word. Father, when we look at your word, sometimes it looks like it's too easy. But Lord, as I dig into your word, it is easy. It's just a matter of trust and believe. Trust and believe in what you say. Trust and to believe that you are the way. Trust and believe that you love us and that you will not leave us. And that, Father, when we cry out to you, you're there. When we come to a hard time in life, you're there to help us, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to pick us up, to hold us, to wrap your arms around us, for us to feel a hug, whatever it might be, Lord. You're that kind of God. And so, Father, we go forth today and every day knowing that you are God. And knowing, Lord, Father, that the hope I have is the hope that I get from you. And that, Lord, we will abound in joy and peace in so many things that you have for us. I pray that for these wonderful people that are here today, and any of those that might even listen to this on the web, Father God, that just by hearing your word, hearing how much you love us, that, Father, we are touched in our hearts and in our spirit by that. We love you, Father. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.